Driving season is in full swing, and an unexpected car repair can cost hundreds, even thousands to fix, ruining your road trip. That's why I recommend getting extended coverage from CarShield. A new water pump could set you back over $500. Replacing your AC can cost as much as $1,500. With CarShield, the dealership or your favorite mechanic can do the work. CarShield does the rest, getting them paid directly. Save yourself from high repair bills with CarShield. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit CarShield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. CarShield.com, a deductible may apply.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This afternoon, the House will take action on two initiatives to keep Americans safe. The first is Kate's Law. As you know, this is named after Kate Steinle, who was murdered 2 years ago in San Francisco by an illegal immigrant who had been deported several times. He should not have been here, and she should not have died. So this initiative will toughen penalties for illegal immigrants who repeatedly re-enter the country.
Passed. House. Passed. There you go. Second bill yesterday on the docket.
The second measure gives the government the authority to withhold grants from cities that fail to cooperate with federal law enforcement. By flagrantly disregarding the rule of law, sanctuary cities are putting lives at risk, and we cannot tolerate that. Every day, Secretary Kelly leads professionals around the country and around the world, quite frankly, who are charged with keeping our homeland safe. They make incredible sacrifices. Our job here is to make sure that those professionals have the tools that they need and the resources that they need to carry out their work and to protect our communities. That is what these measures are all about, and we look forward to their passage in the House today.
They both did yesterday. Kate's Law and Sanctuary City. That's great. Love that. Love that. That to me, boom, that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to see stuff get moving. Not what's been happening, not what's the giant elephant in the room because somebody decided that he needed to take on Mika and he needed to take on Morning Joe and everybody else. You know what? Let some of this crap roll off your back and let it go. Right? Remember Moses? Let my people go. Well, let it go. This stuff is a win. Partial travel ban. You didn't even know that was going to happen. You were hoping they were going to hear the case. They said, you know, we're going to reinstate some of this and we're going to get to it in October. It's a win. The Russia stuff is dying down. It was dead before you started even the tweeting crap. People are getting on CNN's case. You've got yourself set up. Yes, healthcare didn't go the way you wanted, but you know what? Anything in life worth doing is worth doing right, and sometimes it takes time. Measure twice, measure a third time, measure a fourth time if you have to, cut once. Don't cut before you measure. Figure out what healthcare is going to look like. Get the feel, a temperature. See, have you exhausted all of the options? What about this? What about that? How are we going to bring healthcare down, the premiums for the people, so they can afford this? How are we going to make it more of a modern way of healthcare so they can deal quicker and easier with their primary care physician than the crap that's going on now? How can we streamline some of this stuff? How can we do a lot of these things? Those things matter. Taxes, building a wall. Matter, matter, matter. Frustrating. It is. But yesterday, the tweet came and away it went. Tweety, tweet, 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 tweet. And that's what we got.
Oh, it's Tweety Bird. Oh, man.
Crazy. It's annoying. I don't care what he said about Mika. I don't care about Mika Brzezinski. I don't care about Joe Scarborough. I don't care about the crap that goes on there. I cared about yesterday the fact that Kate's Law passed. Yeah, it's still got to go to the Senate. I cared yesterday that the Sanctuary City thing was finally sorted out, and it got through. And there are even a few Democrats that voted for these. What? And by the way, the Senate, there is some legs under here for these things. That's great. Right? And you people out there who are sold to the cause that is Donald Trump, that it doesn't matter what he says and it doesn't matter what he does, I beg to differ. It does matter. I have friends who are huge Trump supporters, but I will tell you, they are very frustrated right now at the Republicans and at Trump. Very frustrated. And as we all know, as quick as people can come and get excited in this country for all kinds of things, you could be a star one day and a pariah the next. As quick as they come, they can turn it off and go elsewhere. Frustrating, yes. We'd be remiss, though, not to talk about some of this crap that took place yesterday. The biggest of the stories, I think, is the story that was thrown out there today with Mika and Joe, because they're supposed to be on vacation. We're on vacation. If you don't know who they are, about 500,000, 600,000 people watch them a day. Maybe. I don't even know what their ratings are, but they have been getting... And this goes for all the media. You guys have been handed... I'll be serious. You should hope he gets reelected at the rate he's going. Just for your ratings. Just for your ratings. There are guys in my business who, I will tell you this right now, struggling big time before Trump. Struggling big time. One-trick ponies, struggling. But they're so sold for Trump now. They're one in the same. He goes south, they're probably going to go south. But you know what? They were sold for Trump, and they've been there because he's interesting. Look, I've always said he's interesting. I like some of the ideas he's got. I hope that he can implement some of this stuff, and I hope that he brings a more business-savvy feel to D.C. I've always thought that. In saying all of that, though, I don't like everything he does. And you know what? You wouldn't respect me if I was one of these people that just buys it all, that it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, you're a Republican, that everything the Republican does is great and amazing, and that everything the Democrats do is evil and wrong, and vice versa. No. You want honesty and reality and fairness. Right? I give you honesty, I give the reality of stuff, and I'm fair to both sides of all issues that I look at. Today, though, I will say, let me tell you what they accused the president of today, to me, is that's a hell of an accusation of blackmailing them, Joe Scarborough and Mika, using their friend, if you will, or his friend from the National Enquirer, and saying that people from the White House called and just kind of urged them, hey, would you call and say you're sorry to the president, maybe back off him a little bit, and maybe these salacious stories that were going to be in the, inside the Enquirer will disappear.
We got a call that, hey, the National Enquirer is going to run a negative story against you guys. And it was, Donald is friends with, the president is friends with the guy that runs the National Enquirer. And they said, if you call the president up, and you apologize for your coverage, then he will pick up the phone and basically spike the story. I will just say, three people at the very top of the administration calling me. And the response was like, are you kidding me? I don't know what they have. Run a story? I'm not going to do it.
So he's accusing the president of the United States of America of stooping to the point where he has got his upper echelon people inside of his cabinet and administration calling a morning show couple on MSNBC that has 500,000 viewers a day, if that, and saying, you should really back off the president. You should step away from some of this stuff. Trust me, it'll be good for you. She could probably just pick up the phone and call him. You should. Now, mind you, Scarborough and Mika, they had a very nice relationship with the president not too long ago. And that has gone south. I don't know what's taken place. Something has gone south there. I don't know what it is, nor do I care, because it seems like high school crap. But the accusation of blackmailing, this is the same kind of accusation that goes along with, James Comey and like, well, I took it as essentially, do this or you're going to lose your job.
The calls kept coming and kept coming, and they were like, call. You need to call. Please call. So, come on, Joe, just pick up the phone and call him.
It's blackmail.
And let me explain what they were threatening. They were calling my children. They were calling close friends.
You're talking about the National Enquirer. Yeah.
And they were pinning the story on my ex-husband, who would absolutely never do that. So I knew immediately it was a lie and that they had nothing. And these calls persisted for quite some time.
I find that very disturbing if that's true. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if it is or isn't, because there's got to be proof on both sides at this point in time. But that, to me, those are real accusations, taking away from the message of the things that should have been a great week for the president. But here we are talking about crap on a Friday that we shouldn't be. And the Republicans are getting sick and tired of it. And remember, you need them to get stuff done. You need them to get stuff done. And they're done answering questions about your tweets or your fits or your anger or your whatever it is that's going on. They don't want to answer that anymore. They've got jobs that they have to do so they can try to get reelected as well. And if you turn on them, or if you, and people say, well, then that's what they do. Well, no, you're missing the point here. Think big picture. Because you piss them off and you lose them, you don't get your agenda done. They don't get anything in it done. And if they don't get anything done, guess what happens? The Democrats come back and they win, and then nothing gets done. And then in 3.5 years, there's somebody else in the White House. Think big picture. Macro, not micro. Hey, millions of you out there working hard each and every single day. Did you know that intruders, burglars, people that do their worst are doing it while you're doing your best? You're at work. You're busting your butt. They're doing their worst. They're inside your house taking stuff. How do you stop them? Well, why don't you do this? Get Simply Safe Home Security, and you'll stop intruders in their track. Simply Safe is a completely wireless system that is so easy to install. You have no idea how easy it is. In less than an hour, you can have a full arsenal ready to roll for all day, 24/7 protection. With entry sensors, glass break sensors, a high-definition camera that is amazing. You're going to know what's going on inside of your home, even when you're not there. No long-term contracts, no hidden fees. Simply Safe's round-the-clock professional monitoring is less than $15 a month. It's amazing. Go to simplysafe.com/Benson. Get a special 10% discount off your home security system when you order today. That's simplysafe.com/Benson for 10% off. Once again, simplysafe.com/Benson saves you 10%. What's next? Football, concussions. Can Drew Brees save football? Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
Can football be saved? I don't know. Drew Brees is going to try to save football. A bunch of retired guys played flag football in San Jose last night, as they were talking about it, and some other NFL players joined in. They're getting ready to launch a new co-ed youth flag football enterprise called Football in America League, with an eye towards the future of the game. My son is 7, Jack. He listens to the show. You know, he's a big part of my life, big part of the show. Because I share the experiences that he and I have, and I think fatherhood is the greatest thing ever. It is. It is the greatest thing I'll ever do in my life. Doesn't matter what I do. I could win Oscars, Academy Awards. I could win the World Cup. I could do all of these amazing things. I could win the lottery. Greatest thing I've ever do in my life is to be my son's father. And to be a father, I also have to look out for some pitfalls. I want him to learn things in life. But there are some things I look at nowadays and think, as a dad, I'm a dad-tater. That's like a dictator and a dad at the same time. And football's one of them. Mike Ditka said, no, knowing what I know now, I'd never play football. My kids won't play football. Wouldn't have played football. Grandkids, no, nobody. Troy Aikman, no, kid's not playing football. Drew Brees, kid's not playing football. Son's not playing football. Harry Carson, not playing football. Would have known now. Many others. And it's not just the massive hits you see. Do you realize that even the small, most benign little crash that happens over time does the same amount of damage as those big hits? Do you realize that 98% of NFL players that have passed away and have donated their brain have been found to have CTE? My son really wants to play football. He's playing flag football this year. And I said, that's fantastic. He said, I'd like to play tackle. I said, you're never playing tackle. No, sorry. It's not going to happen. It's not. It's not going to happen. Anything that has to do with head trauma, and that includes soccer. I look back and the studies they're doing nowadays are, they're showing that many of these big defenders and stuff have played years and years in, of soccer professionally and stuff, have similar injuries because of that. Luckily for me, I was small and didn't really have, you know, a need to use my head that much. But I'm serious. What's next for football, to be honest with you? I think over the next several years, football's going to change. And I think flag football is going to become more and more the norm. And I think along the way, flag football is even going to replace in some high school areas where the insurance, both medically and to cover the cost of all the other stuff, is going to be too huge for some high schools to continue to do, and they're going to drop the sport. And I don't blame them. I have a tougher and tougher time every year watching football, knowing that these guys, every game, are putting their heads in a situation where there's a little bit of damage over and over again. And while they're grown men, I look back and think to myself, Junior Seau shot himself in the chest, one of the greatest football players of all time, so his brain wasn't hurt so they could investigate him. It's crazy. What's next for football? I don't know, but the NFL knows how bad this really is. And more, I'm starting to think to myself, it's a tough watch. As much as I love the game, as much as it's enjoyable, as much of a thrill that I get out of watching the game, I'm at the point now where it is becoming tougher and tougher for me. What's next for football? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I think more and more players are leaving football at a younger age and not returning to it. What might be is we've reached the zenith of football and its popularity. And over the next decade or so, it's going to wane and we'll have a new king of sports. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Easy, fellas. Hey, fellas. Fellas, easy. Fellas, easy.
Wow.
You guys are getting worse.
I love that. It's hilarious. That right there is the Donald today with the president of South Korea. They were sitting there. People trying to get as close as they can to take pictures and talk to them. They got into kind of a skirmish. It gets heated, right? I mean, there's only so much space to get a bunch of people into to take photographs and or to ask the president questions. So it got a little heated. It got a little push and shovey kind of, and lo and behold, the table died.
It's actually a very friendly press. Don't let that get you. Although we just lost the table.
Table is dead. And I love how he said it's a very friendly press, yet at the same time, the press is evil and it's all lies. How you doing, party people? It's Chad Benson Show. Thanks so much for making us part of your day on this most festive of weekends. It is a the 4th of July. All these people heading off to their recesses here. Did they get enough done? No, I don't think so. But as frustrated as we are in a lot of this, you know, I think it was a good week for the president, minus the tweeting debacle. And now we found out that Kushner, apparently spoke to Joe Scarborough, kind of like a hanging out, talking thing. And because remember, this whole thing, these two people, Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough, fellow Republican politician at one time, they were friends at one time. They used to hang out. So it's not like Trump didn't know who these people were. And he had him on their show on numerous occasions. He was on that show in the run-up to the president, even while president. And it's kind of gone south. And I don't know what happened. But apparently Kushner said, hey, you know, talking about it, your father-in-law, yeah, things aren't so great and stuff, you know, with you two guys. And I know that there's something hanging over your head about the silly Inquirer stuff. I don't know what it is, but you guys are fighting over something. Joe, why don't you just pick up the call, phone and just call. Call my father-in-law. And somehow that became blackmail. So was there a person that said, why don't you call the president? Yes. But was it blackmail? It's a stretch. What I always tell you in life, there's two sides to a story. Both people have the truth, but how much is the actual truth? One side, it may be 60-40. Rarely is it 100%, 100%. Rarely is it like, this is the truth. This is the truth. Rarely is that the case. And I think this is another one of those situations where somebody took something and they decided, I'm going to take this molehill and I'm going to make a mountain out of it. And we're going to take our 15 minutes of fame and we're going to extend it. And we're going to come in off our vacation and talk about this, old Mika and Joe. And we're going to make this a story and we're going to run with this. And everybody in the media, for as pissed off as they are, and they don't like Donald Trump, and I understand that. Look, sometimes in life, there's a lot of people out there that we're not huge fans of, all right? We're not big fans of them. The way they act, who they are, doesn't make them idiots, doesn't make them incompetent. You just don't like their personality. That's fine. That's what it is with Trump. They don't like him as a human being. He's a flawed person who's horrible. He doesn't buy into all of the crap when it comes to their political correctness. He's an individual that has many flaws, but he has a lot of good things as well. And I think he has a chance of being a great president. But at the same time, I also think he has a chance of being a bust. And I think he can contribute to both of those equally. But the media, this is the thing. They can't stand him, but they need him because he is feeding them. He is giving them a rent. This 24-hour news cycle, these talking head shows, many of my colleagues in this business, he has saved them and give them an energy boost that they haven't had in a long time. He has saved a lot of their asses. I have a lot of friends in this business who, let me tell you something, were on their last legs until Trump came around. They knew they were struggling. They knew that they had better figure this out because this thing could go south at any moment at the rate they were going. And 4 more years of Hillary is the last thing people wanted. 4 more years. And I'm not talking about the American people. I'm talking about 4 more years. Listeners and viewers are like, I don't want to see 4 more years of this crap. I just got that. Trump is interesting. That's what we like in life, right? Charles Barkley is a perfect example. He is a guy who is politically incorrect. You know, if you know who Charles Barkley is, the basketball player, you know, former, he's now a TV pundit. He didn't win a championship. He was a great player, Hall of Famer. But he was interesting. He was flawed. He was loud. He was rambunctious. He drank too much. He gambled too much. But we love characters like that. Look at golf. John Daly is somebody that everybody loves in golf. Why is that? Because he's been married 5 times. He has gambled and pissed all of his money away, made it all back, pissed it all away again. He's had a drinking problem. He is a guy that is, you know, he would smoke and drink out on the course at times, and he'd eat a donut in the middle of a round, and he didn't have a 30-inch waist and a 40-inch chest. Instead, he had a 40-inch waist and a 30-inch chest, but we loved him because he was flawed. And he was interesting. And you were always going to get something from him. Donald Trump is that guy. Both of those guys, you know what they have in common? They're both amazing. Tiger Woods said, you want to know who the best golfer in the world was if you could put it together? It's Daly. Daly had all of it. He could hit the ball further than anybody else. He was aggressive. He was brilliant. But he couldn't always put it together. But he was great to watch. Charles Barkley never won a championship, but man, could he ball. This guy's been flawed. He's failed. He's been married a few times. He's cheated. He's done it in a massive way in front of the world. He's gone bankrupt. He's risen like the phoenix from the ashes. He has been loud. He's been obnoxious, but he's got great ideas at the same time. And you have to understand, in the world that we live in, sometimes that's what you need. You need that flaw. If you look back at great politicians through history, Winston Churchill was very flawed. He was very flawed in a lot of the things. He failed at a lot of things. But the right person when they needed it. And an interesting person, to say the least. Cantankerous old man with an amazing wit who understood how to bring people together. And at the same time, he understood how to destroy a lot of his political foes and when to reach across the aisle. This whole thing with Mika and them, it's crap. But it was also the kind of thing that for all of the crying and the whining and the bitching and the moaning and the screaming and the yelling and the he's a sexist pig and we have to all stand up for Mika and the whole nine, for all of those things, they need this. This saved their ass. Did you see the numbers for the debates? They were massive. Fox and CNN and all of them, they were rolling out numbers as far as the eye could see, and they were changing what they were charging for commercials because they could charge like surge pricing. He's interesting. He's flawed, yes, but as much as they can't stand him, they need him. And it's the same thing for Trump. As much as he can't stand the press, as much as he can't stand the way that they treat him, he needs them as well to get out the message that he wants. People say, well, he's got Twitter. He's got Twitter, but I'll tell you this right now. I'm gonna tell you this. Most people don't have Twitter. A good portion of his followers aren't following his Twitter feed. That's the reality of it. If it wasn't for the media talking about some of the things that he tweeted or posting at a few places that people may go, it becomes a bigger thing and it reaches more of the mass audience that he's trying to reach because of the media. He needs them as well. They don't have to play nice. They don't even have to really respect each other that much. But the world that we live in is a give and take. Sometimes you're going to take some stuff that you don't want to take, and that's where Trump has to learn that it's okay every once in a while to take some criticism. I get it all the time. I get hammered here all the time, told what a horrible human being I am, how stupid I am, what a moron I am. I get challenged to fights, the whole nine yards, by people who are just absolutely pissed off because I don't support their point of view. And you sit there, and sometimes you have to go, you know what? It's not worth it. Don't take the bait. Meek even said today there was a bit of baiting going on. She admitted it. And when you know you can bait people to do things, you're going to do that. Right? If you know you can get them to take the bait, take the bite, do what are you going to do? Hell yeah, I'm going to follow you to there. I'll do it all day. But both sides need each other. Don't let them fool you and say that they don't, because that's crap. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. How long can we live for? How long would you like to live? That's a question. And Anthony and I got into a very deep discussion about this yesterday, about what's middle age now and how long is the potential for us to live lengthwise, the reality of living comfortably. Think about that for a second. Also, Columbia. There's a flight that you may want to take in the near future one of their budget airlines that they're thinking about doing something. And if you feel like doing this, you know what? May save some money and it'll be interesting. Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say what? So what is this? They want to have a new bill now, Producer Phil, that would do what?
It would oust the president if mentally unfit, physically unfit. And I'm listening to this congressman talk about how it differs from what the Constitution says.
And who gets to decide that? Because, you know, I've heard a lot of that over the last couple of days. You know, I'm wondering if he's mentally capable to be president, if he's unfit. I'm like, stop it. Stop. You're questioning his sanity. I don't think he's insane. I think he's sly as a fox at times, and I think sometimes he's very reactionary, but I don't think he's insane. I was reactionary today, for God's sakes. Here's something for you, Phil. So I was driving today. All right, so I'm driving, and I go to turn right, and one of these people who I like to call early into the crosswalk people who anticipate it starting to turn green is halfway across the crosswalk when he gets the way to go and I'm turning right and he punched my car. And of course, me being of sound mind, I love Betty. And as far as I'm concerned, you hit a woman. And I was there to protect her honor. And you know what I always like, right? And this sounds horrible. My dad used to say this. Everybody has their mouth that's wide open and they yap their trap. And until somebody else says, well, I'm standing in front of you now, so why don't you make like a frog and leap? And essentially, the guy told me to F off and then he punched my car hard. And remember, he was halfway through the crosswalk against a red light and it was my green arrow to turn. That's when I said, say, woo! And then I went back and we had some words. And I noticed that when I was standing in front of him, he was not as eager to punch me or to say anything to me. But that was a little reactionary. But you know what? You hit my car. I told him, you're lucky we're not in Florida because that is a stand your ground. And as far as I'm concerned, you were in my ground. People are like, well, aren't you afraid of what he could have done? I'm like, he looked like the lead singer from Erasure. All right, he had cut off jean shorts and a crop top. I wasn't worried about, you know, I thought he might have said, ooh, l'amour. Chad, you're a jerk. Probably. Hey, guess what? So a tourist goes shopping. She goes shopping. She's hanging out. She's inside of a store. Now, she is from Eastern Jingji province, and she was trying on a bracelet in a shop in Yunnan province near the Miramar border on Tuesday. She tried on a jade bracelet. The bracelet broke.
What?
They told the lady, you broke the bracelet. You must purchase the bracelet. The bracelet was $44,000. When they told her that, she collapsed. Woke up again, and they told her, you must pay for the bracelet. She was not thrilled. Staffer says, look, we're going to give you a deal, $25,000. She says, I got $1,500, and that's all I got in the whole wide world is $1,500. They said, no, it's a $25,000 bracelet. We're giving it to you at cost. But she didn't have the money for it. And Anthony and I, now, Anthony, would you have run out? I would have ran out the store. That's what I would have done. Yeah, you're not getting. I'm sorry. I tried it on. It's not like I threw it against the wall. I tried it on. That's poor merchandise. And is it really worth $44,000? Come on. Really? It's not ivory. It's not gold. I'm putting it out. It's not full of diamonds. It's jade. Well, jade's, I'm still 44 grand. I'm thinking somebody is getting ripped off there. I'm just throwing out there. Say what? Now, you want to fly? I like flying. Take a flight here. Jack is on a flight right now. He's close to getting into beautiful Miami, ready for his big cruise tomorrow. How about budget airline Viva Colombia? Viva Colombia, my friends. Chad. Well, they're considering a plan. This is going to be great. They're going to remove all the seats. And everybody's going to stand. They hope the move will drive down fares by allowing them to squeeze more passengers into each flight, opening up air travel to working-class Colombians and budget holidaymakers. The no-frill carriers announced this week that it's adding 50 new Airbus A320s to its fleet to capitalize on the country's growing tourist market. The new planes will have more seats and lower running costs, with the first ones going into service in 2018. But they've got to check and see if they can come up with this and actually do this. Now, obviously, in America, that's never going to happen. You cannot do that. But in Colombia, can you do that? And you're going to be flying in Colombia and probably through parts of South America, but you couldn't fly here. They're not going to allow that to happen. And it's crazy. I mean, you know, in India, they're going to have one, but you have to ride on top of the plane. Like the trains there. Chad, somebody's going to text me and say that was racist, but half of you are laughing right now. So shut your pie holes. All right? Shut your pie holes. What is middle-aged? Well, according to what they think we're going to be living to, and I have said that we're going to live into our hundreds comfortably, 60 is now the new middle age. Used to be 30, used to be 40, used to be 50, but 60 now is going to be the new middle age because they believe our generation will live easily into the hundreds comfortably, 120 on average, and will be in much better health. I said I'm living to 176, and I'm keeping my word, people. I am. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.